Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gospel lesson begins by telling us that Jesus was over in a region beyond the Jordan called the Decapolis, the region of the ten cities. And this was largely Gentile country, and there were no big metropolises over there. Small towns, small villages. Jesus and his disciples were off in a desert place. We're told a number of times in our text, and both after and before it, that they were in a desert place where Jesus and his disciples were. But more than 4,000 people found their way to Jesus in this remote place, out in the country. And there, they continued with Jesus to hear him teach concerning the kingdom of God and everlasting life. And so, we learned that after 3 days of listening to Jesus, sitting at his feet and hearing him speak of the things concerning himself, the kingdom of God, and of righteousness, they ended up with nothing to eat. And now they are off in the wilderness and they've got to get home. And they haven't had anything to eat. Right? So what does this show to us? It shows to us that what it says in our catechism under the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Right? Under the third commandment, we learn the meaning is that we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word. To despise something means to think it of little value, right? We must not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Why? Because the Lord deals with us, not out of the blue. He deals with us according to his word and sacraments. That is, he comes to us by these instruments and these means with his grace, his mercy, his blessing, and his strength. And so therefore, we should not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Now, these people had at some difficulty found their way to Jesus, continued with Jesus, even when it meant that at the end of the whole thing, they didn't have enough food to fill their bellies before they took the long journey home, right? Therefore, that's our top priority as Christians. We are people who are hungry for the word. We are hungry for the grace of God, which he is ever giving to us through our Lord Jesus by means of his word and sacraments. And just as they journeyed out into the wilderness to be with Jesus, so we are drawn by the Holy Spirit to come to where Jesus is, to gather around the word and sacraments and to rejoice in his blessings and benefits. Now, nobody really suspects that anything is potentially wrong here. The disciples are probably thinking, this is good. Our guy here he is even attracting huge crowds out into the country. You know, if you want to attract a big crowd, you go into a city and you advertise, right? Here, Jesus goes into the most remote place, off into the sticks, and people still flock to him. So the disciples are feeling, you know, this is kind of good. And the people They are just so caught up in the fact that they are enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus and his wonderful teaching that they're not thinking about any potential problems, right? But Jesus is already thinking about their need before they even think about it. And he is already pondering what he is going to do about it. So it says he called his disciples unto him, and he says to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. So Jesus here reveals that even though the people are not, they don't seem to be thinking about anything. And the disciples up until this point weren't thinking about anything, but Jesus already is. We have a number of Bible passages. Number one, in Isaiah chapter 65, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and that while they are yet speaking, I will hear. When will this come to pass? When the Messiah comes, when the salvation of God is revealed, that is when this wonderful thing will happen, where God's grace will be so abundantly revealed that God even answers our prayers before we pray them. The other thing we need to remember from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 is that it says that your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. And here we're seeing this here. People are doing fine. The disciples, they're happy, right? Jesus is already thinking about the problem and how it's going to be solved. So he shares with this with the disciples. And the disciples, they suddenly become upset, right? He says, if I send them away fasting, if I send them with empty stomachs back to their houses, they'll pass out in the road on the way home. And many of them came from a far distance. So now he lays this before the disciples. Jesus often tries our faith. He places before us challenges and sees how we will respond. So how do the disciples respond? All right, it says here in our text that they answered, where are you going to get food in this wilderness to feed all these people? It's impossible. Right? That's basically how they respond to Jesus. He lets them know that he would like to get these people fed before he dismisses them. They basically say, impossible. It's impossible. Look where we are. There's no 7-Eleven even, right? Look where we are. And the disciples in this instance are just like us. No matter how many times God has pulled our feet out of the fire, no matter how many times huge, insurmountable problems have passed away and all is well again, no matter how many times this stuff has happened, the next time something comes up, what do? Panic! Emergency! Help! Right? That's what happens with us. No matter how many times we have experienced God's answer to prayer, every time a new challenge comes up, every time a new need arises, we go into emergency mode and we start casting around in our own minds for a solution to the problem. And finding none, we despair. We stand there, we look at Jesus and go, right? We got nothing, right? What does it say in the Proverbs of Solomon? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, the disciples didn't do that, just like we often don't do that when we should. You see, what the Lord wants to see in us is that we have such confidence in his compassion, his mercy, his love, his power, that when we are faced with challenges, we turn with peaceful hearts to the Lord in prayer, and we commend these things to him, and then we wait with serene peace of heart to see how he's gonna help in time of need. But the disciples, basically, they didn't come up to expectation here, or maybe they did. Maybe that's what the Lord expected. So here we have the disciples, and they don't look very good. Now, does Jesus therefore get mad and chase them away and go, you guys go sit in the back row until you learn better? I'm tired of your constant doubting and little faith, right? No, he doesn't do that. Jesus says to them, he says, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. We have seven loaves of bread on us, right? And so Jesus commanded the people to sit down. So Jesus takes over, right? The disciples are there. They have just said how much bread they have. Jesus tells everybody to sit down on the ground. And look at how he goes about it. He took the loaves. See the language there? He took the loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave. What does that sound like to you? Right? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. You see, there's an intentional connection between what was going on here in the desert and what happens with us in church, right? Because God wants to show us that his blessings come to us by means. They don't just drop out of heaven willy-nilly if we're lucky enough to catch them and gather them. But God works through specific instruments, and those instruments are where he regularly gives his blessings out. And so here we see Jesus doing this for us, and we say, oh, God's blessing is about to go to work here, you see? And so he gives them to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. So notice the disciples here are not left on the sidelines to spectate. He blesses the bread, he hands the bread to the disciples, and the disciples distribute the bread to the people. And this goes on until more than 4,000 people are fed until their stomachs are full, and Jesus can then dismiss them. Now, here's the thing about this miracle that makes it different from the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 was a sign miracle that was specifically geared to showing how Jesus is the bread of life come down from heaven for the life of the world. So the feeding of the 5,000 is geared in on Christ, who he is, and what he gives, eternal life, right? The feeding of the 4,000 is also about those things, but the chief thing about this passage is this, that he who is the Savior of your soul and the giver of life everlasting is also concerned and compassionate to give you those things that you need in your earthly life. All right? He also is concerned about your temporal needs. And so here, he feeds more than 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few small fishes. But this miracle also does something else. It shows in a spectacular way what God is doing every day. Every day the Lord is providing. In our catechism, the first article of the creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What does it mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. Every day God is doing this. Also, clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods. Every day the Lord is doing this. The miracle just shows it in a spectacular way. And the miracle is given so that when we see it, we can be comforted and assured that when we are in the midst of earthly, temporal needs, we may commend our needs to the Lord, knowing that he will compassionately and mercifully help us in every time of need. And then we may be at peace in our hearts and tranquil in faith through the word of God, rather than being forgetful like the disciples. You know what makes the disciples' reaction so much more stand out? Is because the feeding of the 5,000 only happened about 3 months before this. So just think about this. 3 months before, Jesus had fed the 5,000. Now it's like July. They're out there in the desert with a huge crowd of people, and Jesus begins to talk about, what are we going to do to feed these people? He had a thought that they would immediately go, whoop, it's only 3 months ago. But anyway, the point is that here we are being shown that we don't have to go into emergency mode whenever trouble comes, whenever need arises. We may trust in the Lord and he will direct our paths. He will help us not only by giving us forgiveness, life, and salvation, but also by coming to us, guiding us, and helping us in every earthly need. And so today, as we consider the feeding of the 4,000, we give thanks to the Lord who cares not only about our souls, but our bodies as well. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.